Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I am here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Third time's the charm.
It is. How are you?
Doing great. How are
you? Yes, good. I'm excited about this podcast.
So today's guest is Timmy Bauer. He's a successful author, illustrator, and founder of Dinosaur House, a company that helps create kids' books for entrepreneurs like, oops, the cannolis exploded. How about that? Timmy's dream is to make books that ignite a love for reading and inspire them to think about entrepreneurship, finance, and personal values. Please join us in welcoming Timmy Bauer to the show.
Welcome, Timmy.
What's up, guys? Thank you so much for having me on.
First question, how did you get into writing kids' books?
So I started when I was 17. I had a little brother who was 4 years old, Tristan. Mm-hmm. He is now pink 17, so this is weird to talk about. When he was four and I was 17, I'd been reading him a bunch of kids' books and I had just read him one of Dr. Seuss books. And I was like, I think I could make something like this. So I started writing a book called Billy the Dragon, which was really just designed to make him laugh, gross him out, scare him, get some kind of a reaction out of him. And every night before bed, I'd be like, all right, Tristan, I wrote a little bit more of Billy the Dragon. And that's how I started. And that kind of formed my thinking about how to make kids' books. I now basically apply that principle to everything. Anytime I go to write a book, either for myself or with a customer, the idea is like, all right, once we've figured out what it is we're trying to say and what it is we're writing, it needs to be full of what we call reaction triggers, which is make them laugh, scare them, gross them out, mm-hmm. do something to get a physical reaction out of a kid. Because from what I experienced with my little brother, Tristan, that was hugely powerful in forming a relationship with him that now I'm like still super close. We have this awesome, fun relationship dynamic that I love that I think really got its start back then when I first started writing this kid's book for him.
What age do you like writing books for kids? What age group?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I primarily target 8-year-olds in the way that I write, mm-hmm. because if you target 8-year-olds and you go, I'm going to write with 8-year-old humor and all the stuff that 8-year-olds love, there's a good chance that you're going to scoop in everything, even as low as 4 years old, because there's a lot of humor overlap there. And you're also going to still take over, like you're also still going to take everything up to like 10, maybe even 11 years old, when they're not really supposed to be reading kids' books anymore, but they still like them and they still like good humor in those books. So I really try to focus on 8 years old as my, like, who exactly am I writing for, while trying to loop in everything as low as 4 and as high as 11.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to give you a lot of credit, to me, because you were 17 years old and you figured out how to connect with your 4-year-old by basically telling him a story and getting his reaction. Yeah. So from there at 17, how did you come up with Dinosaur House? Like how did that start? Because that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a long story. I'll give you the highlights.
Okay.
The highlights are, I had no idea that I was going to start Dinosaur House. And truth be told, like, I don't know how long I'm going to run Dinosaur House. I really started Dinosaur House because I want to be a customer of Dinosaur House, not because I have big ambitions to run a company, although like kind of have to if you're going to run a company well. So whole side topic. But when I started, I wrote Billy the Dragon for my little brother. And then I kind of just buried it. And I would bring it up with people that I felt close to, people I felt like I could share the story with and not, you know, I thought that they might have a good reaction. I was so concerned with the way people reacted to it back then. It wasn't until I was working at Disney as a character performer, and I'm constantly out on stages and entertaining crowds of people. And I had a bunch of character performer friends and they were all encouraging me. Like whenever they found out about this kid's book that I made, they were like, you've got to get this thing published. And I had no idea what it even meant to get something published. I kind of thought that the only way to do it was the traditional publishing route, where you query and get an agent and then you query some more and you just keep on trying to get publishers to look at your manuscript, and it ends up in every publishing company's mm-hmm. slush pile. No one ever looks at it. And if someone does, chances are they're going to reject you. And you can tell I have a pretty negative view of the mm-hmm. publishing industry. my thought was, you know, and this was probably mostly motivated by fear, but I was like, mm-hmm. if I just go and illustrate my own book, order, find a printing company, pay them to print copies of it, and literally just start knocking on doors of everywhere there were children. Mm-hmm. And try to read my book to them. I will get direct feedback from those audiences, what is good and not good about my book. And I can just become a good kids book author by constantly testing my ideas on the actual audience that I'm trying to reach. So mm-hmm. I started literally knocking on elementary school doors and being like, when the teacher would open the door, I'd be like, hey, my name is Timmy Bauer. I am a kids book author. This is my book, Billy the Dragon. I'd love to talk to your media specialist about reading it to your kids. And I've now found out that media specialists get bombarded with emails like this. Not a lot of people mm-hmm. knocking on their doors, but they get bombarded with emails like this. And about half the time I would get turned away because it looks really creepy. Like, who's this man that wants this grown man that wants to come and, like, you know, read to our children? but the other half of the time I would not get turned away, and I would take two phones with me, and I'd bring my books and my two phones, and I'd be like, hey, I need two volunteers, and I'd hand a phone to each of the two volunteers, and I'd tell one, like, take as many pictures as you want to, and to the other I'd say, take as many videos as you want to. Mm-hmm. And I would perform the book and then do like Q&A with the kids. And afterwards, I would post online the pictures and the videos. And I would make sure that there was a moment in the video where I like just delivered a joke that was in one of the books. And then the kids like are erupting mm-hmm. in laughter. I'd make sure that that was part of the video that I would post. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was trying to generate, this was something I learned pretty early, is that like I needed to generate FOMO among school faculty across different schools. What I needed to do was I would tag all the teachers that I met at that school visit and thank them for letting me come to the school in this video post. And then they would comment and be like, oh my gosh, you were amazing. You were hilarious. The kids loved you. And then I would say, thank you so much for saying that. Could you tag one mm-hmm. teacher at a different school in this video and let them know that, you know, something positive about me? And they would. And that's how other teachers started going like, wait, how do we get this kid to come to our school? And that's how I was able to get like even schools that had turned me away because it sounded creepy mm-hmm. to be like, wait a second, how did I want this kid at my school? And it just completely flipped the tables. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the nutshell version of like a 6-year journey of trying to become a full-time touring kids book author. That ended with like right before COVID, I was making just above the poverty line, full-time income off of nothing but book sales by touring constantly, being in two schools a day across America. I would just like drive for hours and hours every single day, two schools a day, running that playbook and making, you know, just enough money to pay all my bills. And then COVID hit. Wiped out that source of income. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had to kind of go back to the drawing board and be like, I know I want to continue making kids books. I want to make way more kids books. It took me 7 years to make Billy the Dragon. It took me 3 years to make the sequel. I want to get to a point where I can make kids. I'm just turning out kids books constantly as I continue to get better and better at making kids books. And then at the same time, I was like, well, how can I make money when COVID is going on as a kids book author? And I came across a book by a sales influencer named John Barrows, who wrote a book called I Want to Be in Sales When I Grow Up. And I interviewed him and he kind of pieced this book together. There's not like a company that turns industry leaders into kids book authors. There is now. And I was like, it's funny. There's no, because there should be something like this for every industry. Like anybody working in any job should have a kids book that is like a hilarious, fun way of connecting with their kids about what mom and dad do for a living. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm going to start a company that tries to do that. And I just hit up 6 of my entrepreneur friends. And I was like, hey, what would it look like? You know, would you have any interest in writing the definitive kids book of your industry? And I'll ghostwrite it for you. Like we'll do Zoom calls together and that'll give us the manuscript. And then either me or my team will illustrate it. And I got 6 customers like that. And that kind of gave me a really good idea that, hey, maybe this is something. And I started a podcast where all I do is talk to industry leaders of different industries. And when they hear about what my company does, about 1 in 7, 1 in 8 of them want to have a sales conversation with me. And so that's how Dinosaur House was born. Now we've got 3 full-time illustrators, a writer, me, my assistant, my wife proofreads all the books. This is where the company's at now.
It's funny because we think when COVID hit, you know, a lot of people were traumatized and they're like, well, what now? And you took it and you created your company because of it, which is pretty amazing because a lot of people, you know, you're in that fear and you're, and that's kind of like what the cannolis exploded is, right? Something bad happened. Yeah. And now what? Right.
Yeah. We talked about that when we were talking through cannolis exploded. Yes. I was like, I feel like creative caterpillar, like boom, there goes what I was, how I was making a living. So now funny. What am I going to build?
Yes.
So what was your favorite parts of the book when you were writing?
Oh, the cannolis exploded. The cannolis exploded. Yes. That was, I have to hold on before, you know, when we got on, started to do this book with you and we started to get on the Zoom calls, you know, writing a book can be challenging. I've seen my husband do it a couple of times and it's stressful. It's exciting, but writing the kids' book is laughing and it's fun and it's joyful and the kids are excited by it. And so it is a different element than just writing a regular book. And you make it fun. Your whole team does. And it's just, we had a great experience with it.
I really appreciate you saying that. And I'll have to get the video clip of this so that I can take that. Well, there was a question in there somewhere.
Sorry. I always cut my husband off. Before you continue, though, because there's a lot of listeners out there. Just curious, what character did you play in Disney?
Oh, man. So I'll say it this way, because like Disney really indoctrinates you into the idea that like you cannot ruin the magic. Like you cannot talk about what you do outside of these walls. Outside, when you get outside the castle, you cannot tell anyone what it is that you do. So I flew around Neverland and I never grew up until I did.
I had to ask because I know people are out there wondering. Mm. Sorry, Gina, for cutting you off.
What was the question?
I don't remember. You're talking about the book.
Oh, what was the favorite parts about writing the book? Favorite parts in the book?
Yeah. Well, I gotta give huge credit to you guys for coming up with so much of the ideas of the book. It was really fun coming up with the premise of the book. And then our writer, Garen, who like took our calls and turned it into the manuscript, he did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. Among it all, my favorite moments, I think I really resonate with Creative Caterpillar because like that's the story of an entrepreneur. You like go, all right, I'm going to live simply and I am going to try a bunch of stuff and something is going to work. I'm just going to keep going until something works. And I love how we made him try to build three different companies and the third one worked. Mm-hmm. Like, and the other two failed for different reasons. I think that's really, really cool. I'm really excited for the Mentor Moose in the sequel.
Yes, the sequel. There's a sequel coming out, everyone. We're super excited.
What I like about the book is it's very simple. And what's amazing to me is when you read the story, everybody gets a different concept from it. They get different ideas or different talking points. Some people see a pity party. We're all pity parties at one point in life. Yeah. We're all responsible rhinos at one point of our lives. And we're all creative caterpillars. You don't have to be just one character. Mm-hmm. You can be a combination of the three. And sometimes it's okay to be a pity party. You need to be a pity party sometimes. And I think that's what, you know, resonated with me. But as talking to other parents and reading with their children, and just go to jakeandgino.com/coloring page. Go to that website, that link. You're going to be able to download the coloring pages. Like my wife said earlier, off camera, my kids spent the whole day coloring those pages.
Oh, it kept them quiet and busy. It was amazing. And I was like, oh, I got to tell everyone this. Mm-hmm. Get out there.
Yeah, I loved it. So what is on the horizon for you going forward? What do you see Dinosaur House growing into?
Yeah, I would love for Dinosaur House. There are several different, you know, I really probably need to sit down with some of my friends who are really good at coming up with mission statements and branding and the vision and all this kind of stuff. Cause as the visionary, I should probably have a pretty clear picture of this. And the reality is there's just I have kind of a foggy picture of this. One thing I see pretty clearly is like at the very least, I want to be a lifetime customer of Dinosaur House. So like I, author Timmy, want to be constantly having books be produced by this company, Dinosaur House. I've got so many ideas that I want to be made into kids' books. I've both like really, really silly stuff that's just pure for fun, and stuff that I think is going to be really impactful. Like, for example, there's a book that I haven't yet, all I've been doing is writing for it so far, but it's called When I Was a Kid in the 90s. And the idea is I want parents to be able to really connect with their kids over what their childhood was like And it can be done in a really funny way, because like 90s stuff is hilarious. It like is. We were weird in the 90s. And so like it can be really funny for a kid. But that's true about every generation. Mm-hmm. It, like if you're ever just in at a party or something and you need like a conversation starter, a really good conversation starter is like, what decade do you consider to be your childhood decade? And what are you most nostalgic about from that time period? And boom, you're like, you're going to have an awesome conversation. And so like, I think it'd be really cool to make a kid's book that is that for every generation. Mm-hmm. But I have a ton of ideas like that, all sort of on this theme of like connecting parents with their kids over something that one of them is passionate about. Because I didn't have a super connected relationship with my dad growing up. Like my dad was not a bad guy by any means, but I wish we had connected better. Mm-hmm. I wish I had gotten more time with him, kind of mutually exchanging our interests. And mm-hmm. so like, I'm really passionate about parents and kids having that. So at the very least, I want to be a lifetime customer of Dinosaur House, just constantly turning out books that kind of move towards that mission. As far as what I want Dinosaur House to do, besides, you know, constantly make books for me, is I want us to make the industry kids book for every industry. Like I want parents that work in any field mm-hmm. to have a book produced by an influencer within that industry. Like the author is an influencer within that industry, making a book that is for parents of that industry to connect with their kids over what mom and dad do for a living.
I think that's genius.
I think it really is. Yeah, mm-hmm. there's huge opportunity.
And Timmy, what services does Dinosaur House provide? What do you do as far as Dinosaur House? Like, I'm coming to you. I have an idea. We put this book together. What do you guys do at Dinosaur House?
Right now, we mm-hmm. are a full service ghostwriting, ghost illustrating. You own everything. We produce it for you and mm-hmm. get it up on Amazon for you. Mm-hmm. Book service. Mm-hmm. So a customer will come to us. And they're going to have Zoom calls with me. And we typically it's about 3 Zoom calls and then just a lot of back and forth emailing to make sure that a manuscript gets produced that is exactly whatever their idea was, whether they're coming in with just a theme. They're like, I know I want my book to say da 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 da, or maybe they've got a story idea. And our job is to make it something written in such a way that that customer is like, yes, that is exactly what I wanted this book to be. But the kid who's reading it is going to get addicted to that book because like it has to be full of it. You essentially have to tell the story as a series of things that are going to make a kid react. Just like a DreamWorks movie is like they figure out what the movie is going to say. They figure out what the plot is, but then they tell the plot as a series of gags. Mm-hmm. That's how you make something that's addictive to a kid. Mm-hmm. So we do that. And then we ask our customers what their illustration preferences are. We've got a team of illustrators. We make sure that it's illustrated the way that they want it to be. They own the copyright. They own everything. We get it up on Amazon for them. That's what we do right now. I've got other ideas for things that we'll do down the road. That's like, you know, cohort model kind of, let's all write our kids' books together and I'll coach you on how to find illustrators. It'll be less expensive. They can, you know, they'll be paying out of pocket. I've got ideas to do that kind of stuff to capture mm-hmm. folks that can't afford the price tag, but that's what we do right now.
For any of you out there thinking, how do I get a children's book, and possibly even wanting to create some type of legacy for your kids? Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want to publish a book and just send it out and sell it. Maybe you just want to have it for your family members, and you're a dad or a mom and saying, I want to connect with my child. How do I do this? This is a great way to leave something to your kids, and then your kids have it and they can leave it to their kids as well. So it's not always about monetizing stuff. This is like a legacy. We talk about legacy wealth and legacy skills a lot in Jake and Gino. This is really a legacy skill and something you can pass down from one generation to the next. I'm sure there's the vast majority of people that have never even thought about how to start to do this. The process is it took us within 6 months from the mm-hmm. very first call to the end to get a finished book out there. And it was a simple process. It was not overwhelming. Maybe like Timmy said, a few phone calls, working out the thought process, working out the title, working out all the different characters, and then just continuing to write and continuing to revise the story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if anybody's out there looking at this, you can obviously use this for your business mm-hmm. to create something for your business. Or like I said, you can just use it for your immediate family.
And the thing is too, is, you know, we always talk on this podcast, and Gino and I always talk about connecting as a family, doing projects together as a family. And this definitely is one of them. You know, you got to be careful a little bit because the kids have all these ideas and then there's a little sensitivity if you don't take them. So, you know, you have to be a little bit cautious on that. But
one thing that I would encourage parents to do, regardless of if you're ever going to, you know, produce it into an actual kids book, is you can do a story exercise. And I have customers where this is what we essentially did. The parent is going to choose what the theme of the story is, but then all the story elements can be chosen by the kid. So say, for example, you know, I would ask a parent, I'd say, what is something that you tell your kid all the time? Because, you know, if they'll just get it, it's going to change the trajectory of their life. And then it's like, why, you know, they'll probably say something like, do your chores when I tell you to, or something like that. I'm like, no, not that stuff. Like the stuff that's like hope is going to be echoing in their mind when they hit like a low point as a teenager or a young adult. Like, what do you want to guide them through life? Like, what is that statement? Right. So then a parent will say whatever that is. And then, so, okay, that's the theme of the book. Now all the story elements are going to be decided by the kid. And what that does is it causes the kid to have a strong sense of ownership over this story and in effect have a strong sense of ownership over what the story is saying. So when I say story elements, I mean like, okay, what's the setting of the book? Like, what are your favorite, you know, are they humans? Are they ponies? Are they fairies? Like, what's this world look like? Is it in the past? Is it in the future? Mm-hmm. And so we're asking kids those questions and it's like, okay, so we know the theme of the book is, and then I don't know, like, what would be a theme that you would say, like something that you tell your kids all the time that you know will change the trajectory of their life?
I would say proximity. Be careful who you surround yourself with.
Be careful who you surround yourself with. Okay, cool. So if the theme is be careful who you surround yourself with, then, you know, one of the first questions is like, all right, let's describe our main character. Okay. And the kid's going to pick what the main character looks like. And it's like, all right, so we know the theme is you got to be careful who you surround yourself with. What do you think this main character really wants? And then like, the kid can decide what the main character wants. And then it's like, okay, why do you think the main character doesn't have what they want? And what do you think are the problems that are getting in the way of this main character having what they want? That's what I mean by story questions. Mm-hmm. So you're asking story questions, but you're trying to guide the story in such a way where it makes sense with the theme. The theme is proximity. Be careful who you surround yourself with. And so that's what I'm talking about. There are all kinds of story questions to ask a kid, but you want to guide the conversation so that the kid is coming up with everything, but it's telling the theme that you want it to tell.
That's so
great. We've done that with some of our customers.
Oh, you have. That's excellent. And you know, it's a good project to do just even if you're not writing a book to talk to your kids about. I like that a lot. I think I'm going to use that.
Well, we learn through stories. I mean, like I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. When Jesus taught in the Bible, like he very rarely taught like what we would think of as a sermon. It's literally stories.
Yeah.
And that's because that's how we learn.
Right.
And I've said this on like TikTok videos before, like if you want your kids to remember something, tell it to them in the form of a story instead of in the form of a lecture. Like for example, if they keep leaving dirty dishes in the sink, tell them about the cockroaches that are crawling out of the sink because they want to eat the yummy, delicious, gross leftovers that are being left on the dishes. All right. That's going to create a very visceral image for these kids. And that story is going to be a reminder to them. Oh, shoot, we need to make sure that there's not dirty dishes in the sink or else the cockroaches will come out at night.
That's awesome.
Well, Timmy, I would leave them in there as a young adult. If I had any sisters, I want to gross them out. So I'd be like, okay, I'm leaving dishes in the sink. So that wouldn't work for some people, but I get your point exactly. But
yes, I like that a lot. It's so funny. Yeah, I agree with you. Storytelling is how we teach people. It's also how we learn. I love that.
Timmy, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
So my website's dinosaurhouse.com. There's a little button at the top that says schedule a story design call. That's unapproachable for a lot of people. That's literally my calendar. Like if you went on dinosaurhouse.com and hit schedule a story design call, you'd just be jumping on a Zoom call with me to talk about your story idea. That's all that is. You're not committing to anything, but if that's too like unapproachable, I get it. I never click on any of that stuff either. You can just find me on Instagram or TikTok or any social media. Really, I'm Author Timmy.
And if you're really overwhelmed, just go to Amazon, buy the Cannolis Exploded, spend the $7 and go, wow, this is an amazing book. How do I do this? Like I could never do this myself. And I remember my wife has all these amazing ideas, whether it's a personal finance academy, she throws it on me and she goes, that's a children's book. I'm like, I don't know where to start.
Well, I do what Timmy said. I tell tell a story. I'm like, wouldn't it be great if, wouldn't it be nice? And we explain it a little bit. And all of a sudden, a year later, there it is.
Yes. So, I mean, be proactive. Mm-hmm. Get on the Zoom call. If anything, it may elicit or spark ideas. You may get your level of energy raised. You may get excited. You may see the possibilities. You may be able to, you know, choose an offer selection that you can afford. It's a very affordable process, to be honest with you. If you want to create something that's going to last for the next 30 to 40 years, and it costs a few thousand dollars, what is that, $100 a year for the next 30 years? Just think of it that way, versus price versus value. There's
most a ton of value though, too. Like we were saying, it's helping us as the creators help, you know, connect with our family. And then it's all the other people. I mean, I've heard moms talk about their kids, like mentioning that's the characters, mentioning, you know, Responsible Rhino and Pity Party Pig and Creative Caterpillar, like in during their day, like in class. And it's just like, what? Like, seriously, that's amazing. Because this story relates to all of us. And the parents are actually getting things out of it. My brother called me and talked to me for like a half hour about the story. Him, his personal opinion of it, not the kids. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. But it was, so my point is it's helping us. It's helping us. Yeah. We talk about without actually saying it, we talk about forgiveness and friendship, you know, choices that we make in life and the reason, you know, and so it's not just for the kids is what I'm trying to say.
Any final words before we sign off, Timmy?
You should be creative and don't give up on this like crazy idea that you have to create something.
We want to thank you for being, you know, huge contributor to our lives. This is only the first of many.
Same.
We see a lot of books coming out in the future. And that's what we want to do. We want to become a publishing house because we want to start that personal financial intelligence. And we want to start that responsibility young. And if we can teach our children this through these great books, through how a bakery exploded, and there's cannolis all over the place. And these characters are trying to figure it out. And they all have different options and different choices. Well, we all have to be responsible for those choices. And let's teach our kids what the consequences are of those choices. I've just been able to use this vehicle that we have here. And it's been a lot of fun. So we just want to thank you for being on and for being part of the Jake and Gino community.
Well, to you guys, everybody is trying to teach. And what I find so much more powerful than teaching somebody to do something is inspiring them to want to do something. And you guys do a great job of that. Like this book is really good at inspiring kids to want to be responsible or creative or both.
Thanks, Timmy.
I'd have a pity party.
That's right.
Dinosaurhouse.com. We will see you soon, Timmy. Thanks.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Take care.